Thank you. These readings this morning are taken from the lectionary, but when we saw the Reverend John Bell about 3 or 4 weeks ago at the cathedral, he said the readings from the lectionary are never linked. He said people try to link them. He said they had once had a visiting preacher. There were 4 different readings. He read all 4, and then he said, all the people in these readings had a mother, so now I'm going to speak about mothers. However, these readings this morning really are linked. And the first question I ask myself when I read these passages, do I take what God says seriously? Jesus in Mark 12:29 quotes Moses from Deuteronomy 6:4 when he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now we know that God comprises 3 persons, God as Father, God as Jesus, and God as the Holy Spirit. And they are all in dynamic, harmonious relationship with each other as one. And then Jesus quoted Moses from Deuteronomy 6:5 when he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The only word he added there was mind. So I look back at the passage from Deuteronomy and I ask myself the question again, do I take what God says seriously? In chapter 5, Moses had just reread the Ten Commandments. Now he's reminding the children of Israel of the commands, decrees, and laws that God had directed him to teach them, to observe when they crossed the Jordan to possess the land, so that they may enjoy long life. So God thinks his commands are a bit important. He tells them to keep them on their hearts. He tells them to impress them on their children. So he thinks his commands are more than a bit important. He tells them to talk about them when they sit at home. He tells them to talk about them when they walk along the road. He tells them to talk about them when they lie down. He tells them to talk about them when they get up. So it occurs to me now that he thinks they're very important. He tells them to tie them as symbols on their hands. He tells them to bind them to their foreheads. So now it occurs to me that God considers his commands to be extremely important as they are to carry them with them at all times. He then tells them to write them on the door frames of their houses. He also tells them to write them on their gates. So he's told them to keep them as visual words, spoken words, and meditative words. God considers his words to be of the ultimate and most essential importance. And I thought, for what? To weigh them down with do's and don'ts? No, it was in order that things would go well for them, would be the very best for them. It was only in the previous chapter, Deuteronomy 5, Moses was reminding them that they had said to him, you go near and listen to all the Lord our God says, then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you, and we will listen and obey. And then Moses went on to say, the Lord heard you when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I've heard what this people said to you, and everything they said was good. And then God said, oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. They were full of good intentions. Aren't we the same? So I asked myself the question again, do I take what God says seriously? Well, am I expected to keep a pile of laws and commands? Well, no, of course we're not. But has the Lord changed? No, it hasn't. Jesus said that he had come to fulfill the law. So how do we respond? If we return to what Jesus said in Mark 12:30, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. He said this is the most important commandment. Jesus placed love for God at the heart of the law. He included the word mind. The biblical idea of the heart included the will and the mind. So how do we place love for God first? Well, for me, it was to begin to make him my waking and my sleeping focus and try to think about him as often as I could throughout the day. If you've not read the book by Brother Lawrence, The Practice of the Presence of God, I suggest it's a good thing to read. It's a very short book. I've got it on a PDF. If anybody wants it, I can email it to you. But Psalm 92:2 says, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. The Reverend John Ryland writes, these words set out a beautiful and simple pattern for prayer, one that builds faith and thanksgiving and increases an awareness of the presence of God. At the beginning of the day, surround yourself with the knowledge of the wonder of God's love for you. His love is always present, but if you spend time proclaiming it, despite how you might be feeling, then it gives you solid ground to stand firm in the day ahead. At the end of the day, look back and try to pinpoint those moments when you can see God at work. The truth is, he's been at work constantly in every part of your life. But to begin to recognize his hand in specific areas is to begin to open your eyes to seeing him at work everywhere. This pattern of prayer might seem obvious, but there's a discipline in actually doing it. To deliberately proclaim the love of God and his faithfulness is to take hold of these two great truths and to sow them more deeply into your life. The next question for me in my search for do I take what God says seriously was, how do I keep God's commands always before me? About 13 or so years ago, God really challenged me about reading his word. I thought, where do I start? I had read bits of all the Bible and studied various parts, but I'd never read all of it. I thought it's a bit of a daunting task and it'll take me ages. Some of the Old Testament bits I didn't like very much. They had lots of words in them, lots of names, lots of things I considered to be irrelevant. But I felt challenged to read it, so I bought the whole Bible on CD and started listening from the beginning with the Old Testament. I thought, what if I don't understand it? And I sensed God say to me, it doesn't matter. This is my living word. Ask me to feed you by my Holy Spirit, and I will do so, whether you understand it or not. Jesus promised in John 14:26 that the Holy Spirit would teach us all things. We don't have to strive, we just need to be obedient. After that, I began to read it year by year. And I began to know subtle changes in my life along the lines of deep peace and joy in my spirit and a new wisdom I'd not known before to make better choices, better decisions, and address unhelpful behaviours. You know, the sort of times where you think, where did that thought come from? I've never thought of that before, but it was a good idea. Or a voice that says, don't say that, or don't do that. It's not helpful. But things I wouldn't thought about before. Does that mean I've always kept it up? No, I haven't. I'm like the people of Israel. I have good intentions. But I know I'm better off when I do. And I know the well-trodden path of his word to which I return when I've lapsed and go my own way and things have begun to go wrong. And I know that God, my loving heavenly Father, will be there to meet me and impart his grace to help me. And so I began to understand what God means when he wants us to take what he says seriously. As in Proverbs 4:20 to 22, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. So that brings me to Jesus' second command, to love your neighbour as yourself, as summing up the remainder of the law. I know that when I'm in a right relationship with God, I can love others in the way he would want me to. And I'm well aware that when I'm not in right relationship with God, I can't. Which is why it's important we get this in the right order. I listed some of the things I feel when I'm in the wrong place and I'm trying to love others. I feel burnt out, or unappreciated, or overloaded, or I get upset easily, or I harbour unforgiveness, or I criticise others, or I keep a record of wrongs, or I make people depend on me instead of God, as I want to keep God's good things for myself instead of being generous-hearted, or I isolate myself from other members of our Christian family because it's easier to stay away. I've done all those things at one point or other. But Jesus has come full of grace and truth to impart life to us by his Spirit so that we can overflow in abundant love to others. In Corinthians 2:9-8, it says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly. So in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Again, John Ryland writes, "There's so much need in our world. Even as you go through your day, you will encounter people with needs, and it's tempting to wonder what you can do about it. You may not think you have the right words to say or the resources to help. However, when you think like this, you are judging the situation from a human point of view." Today's verse says that there's an entirely different way of looking at a situation, not from the perspective of what you can do by yourself, but rather what God can do through you. In it, Paul says that God is able to touch you in ways that are probably beyond your understanding, so that everywhere you go and whatever situation you find yourself, he will be able to flow through you. The language Paul uses is exuberant. It's not just a matter of God touching you in a small way, but that he will bless you abundantly. Nor is it simply that you will have a little something to give to people, but rather you will abound or overflow in the good you are seeking to do. Serving others in God's strength comes down to choosing to believe that he will give you what you need and holding on to the expectation that he will use you to be a living resource to the people and situations you come across today and in every day. Loving God first enables us to love our neighbour. If any of you watch Channel 65 TBN UK, you'll see a preacher by the name of Joseph Prince teaching from his several thousand strong church in Singapore. But he writes, "A grace revolution is sweeping across the world today. It's a revolution that's tearing down the walls of legalistic Christian religion and bringing a brand new generation of believers into a deep and intimate relationship with the person of Jesus. As a result, precious lives are being transformed, marriages are being restored, the sick are being healed, and many are being freed from the bondage of legalism. This liberty has in turn given them the strength and power to rise above their challenges. The Grace Revolution is all about bringing Jesus back to the forefront. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to save, to redeem, and to reconcile us to God. So that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So does that convince me to take God's two greatest commandments seriously and apply them to my life? The answer is yes, because it's only then that I enter the source of all life and grace that is beyond myself and know the love of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and begin to see God at work and begin to understand what Jesus meant when he said that the kingdom of God has come upon you and is within you. So let's just be still for a moment, because I sense that at this time, in this church, in Mark's Tay, God is really challenging us to love him more. We've heard a lot this morning about how much God loves us, but the first commandment was to love him, for us to love him. And it's very much a deliberate act of our will to go about doing that. So let's just be still for a moment and just listen to these words. Of God speaking to us. I am God with you for all time and throughout eternity. Don't let the familiarity of that concept numb its impact on your consciousness. My perpetual presence with you can be a continual source of joy, springing up and flowing out in streams of abundant life. Let your mind reverberate with meanings of my names, Jesus, the Lord saves, and Emmanuel, God with us. Strive to remain conscious of my presence, even in your busiest moments. Talk with me about whatever delights you, whatever upsets you, whatever is on your mind. These are small steps of daily discipline. But if taken one after the other, will keep you close to me on the path of life. Thank you.